I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends as we chug ever closer to the end of Series 8 of Fwuff. Like an express train. Is that a thing? Like a train.
An express train is a thing, but
powerfully.
I just think if anything, an express train absolutely doesn't chug. It sort of zooms.
Okay. Well,
zoom.
You know, like, Series 8, we're flying towards the end of Series 8.
A local steam train would chug, I'd say, but as an express train would...
You don't get many local steam trains these days, though, do you?
No, you don't actually, no. It's a shame. What does this country become, Pete?
Yeah. Strange callback to the steam train engine era at the start of this episode of Friends with Friends.
Do you know what? I'm not against it, but I'd say some people listening to this might want us to talk about Friends rather than steam trains.
I used to tell people I wanted to be a train driver when I was little.
You said that like I used to tell them, but I was lying, but...
I just mean like I never actually... The ambition never went any further than that.
Right. Oh, I see. But you wanted to be one at some point.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you realised that the modern age was reducing the number of local steam trains, so you thought, not for me. I'm not an express train
driver. I'd probably be on strike right now, wouldn't I, Dave? Oh. Train satire.
Absolutely. Topical references if you live in Britain. Otherwise, just know that our trains are mostly on strike these days, frankly.
And when they're not on strike, they're dreadful.
Yes. But, you know, up the workers, Pete. I support
the strikes. Yeah, that wasn't a criticism of workers. It was a criticism of... No, it wasn't. It was an impartial observation about the current state of the UK trains network.
Oh my god, this is just like watching Newsnight.
So there we go.
Should I read the request out?
Yes, please. Well, multiple.
A double request, Pete. And actually, they're both fairly text heavy. So strap in, everyone. Ahoy hoy, says Rachel, spelt with an A-E-L, so not like Rachel Green. If that helps you sort of visualize who Rachel is. Love the pod. It's become one of my comfort listens these last 18 months. Not sure if you're still taking requests. Oh, we absolutely are. Sort of on a sporadic basis. But just in case, and I'm pretty sure you haven't done this one, I'd like to request Season 1, Episode 11, The One with Mrs. Bing. Early Friends is my favorite, and there's some peak 90s looks. And Mrs. Bing is simply iconic. The thing that made me single out this episode was, when I was watching recently, I clocked Joey's line to Ross about the rules to Ross after his kiss with Mrs. Bing. Yes, actually, I'm not going to finish that sentence because that's worth a talking point in the episode, isn't it? So, you're absolutely right, Rachel. Yeah, we'll come back to that. Cheers, Rachel X. And then also, Alexandra, ahoy hoy. I'd like to request the one with Mrs. Bing. Phoebe and Monica are an underrated duo, and I love how they take their interest in Coma Guy, how seriously they take their interest, sorry. There's lots of fantastic Phoebe moments in this whole plot line, and I hope Pete likes the songs. Why just Pete?
I don't know. I do love a Phoebe song.
So do I, Pete. Trying to claim Phoebe songs? Trying to gatekeep Phoebe songs from me?
No, I don't think I do. I don't think... No, no. Anyway. Yeah,
we'll talk about that later. The Chandler's mum story is actually pretty serious and sad in a way, which only the first season of Friends is. Interesting. Interesting. Okay, we can address that. Mrs. Bing is an icon. Second of the two requests to say that. I don't understand why she takes her son, all his friends, and Rachel's boyfriend to dinner, but I'm glad because it's a really fun scene. Absolutely, absolutely. Friends madness at its best, that. We see different sides of Joey and Ross, and we find out more about how Chandler invented himself. Love the pod. You've really dented my 5K running times, and I sometimes have to stop mid-run because I'm laughing so much when listening. When you said dented, I thought you meant we'd helped you improve your times, but we're making them worse. Which, frankly, yeah. As a man who hates running more than any other form of exercise, I'm not fussed about.
Yeah.
You like a run, though, don't you?
I do, but I haven't been for a while.
Fine. Good chat.
Good chat. Yeah.
Good catch up. And then Alex signs off. Love brackets spending time with you, close brackets, from Alex. And, as is often requested by us, she's included her location, Northampton, NN1. So sort of, we can narrow it down to a singular postcode area as well.
Used to live near Northampton, Alex.
Did she?
Yeah.
This rings a bell. I think we've talked about this before, but remind me.
I mean, I used to live near Northampton. That's pretty much it. Yeah, right. Between the ages of about 1 and 4.
What was the... Where was it, actually, though?
I lived in Boughton, Alex, Boughton. If you know it.
I think we have talked about Boughton before.
I remember next to nothing about it.
Well, there you go. If you ever want to catch up with Pete about Northampton, Alex, he's got zero knowledge and... a lack of inkling to talk about it. So there you go. What a catch-up that would be. Should we start?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean, should we start? Like, that's, I thought I was under the impression we already had.
But. I know. Sometimes. And I think it's because I'm a bit tired today. I just thought, I'd see what happens if I just said... Like, that is never a phrase we use to, like, move on in the podcast. Do you know what I mean? And I thought it would confuse you, and I sort of enjoyed...
Well, it worked.
Just sort of throwing a spanner in the old works. Anyway, I'm going to take the spanner back out and then let's crack on. Hey, do you want a synopsis or not? Are you happy with that one? We sort of said it both, haven't we? You know,
Monica and Phoebe with the bloat in a coma and the rest of them going for dinner.
45666 though, if you're a fan.
Good number.
Production codes. Let's start, shall we, with... The coma guy? I think the coma guy.
So initially, when this incident occurs, firstly, he says nice hat to Monica and not Phoebe, but they both say thank you because they're both wearing hats.
Yes.
I feel like that nice hat is aimed quite directly at Monica.
Better hat, right?
Yeah, I'm not here to criticise anyone's hat choices, Dave.
Oh, you just think that's who he was looking at?
Yeah. And I would also say that they are not appalled enough at almost single-handedly causing someone to be hit by a moving vehicle.
Well, so this is the thing that runs through it for me, is at the start of the start, they don't seem to give a shit. And at the end, when he wakes up, they're like, oh, we looked after you. They don't say, by the way, we're the reason you're here.
Yes, good point.
We're the reason you nearly died. They're like, oh, no, we're just like the nice women that looked after you all the time.
And like, the lengths that they go to look after him are incredibly invasive.
Changing a unconscious man's pajamas.
Yeah, they should not be allowed to have such a hands-on approach with someone who is supposedly in a very serious medical condition. Although I must say, he looks absolutely fine in that hospital bed and not like someone who's just been hit by an ambulance or whatever it was at him.
No, and he gets very limited medical treatment for a man that is in a serious coma, you know?
And then wakes up and is, like, entirely fine. Like, no further recovery needed. He's just woken up and is fine.
What sort of time frame are we expected to believe this episode runs over? Because I think it's maximum 3 days.
What's the shortest amount of time he can be in a coma for?
And then wake up feeling absolutely fine. Well, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was kind of wondering. Coma
I'm
to...
Gonna,
yeah, go on,
I'm
Google
gonna
it.
I'm going to Google. How short... Can a coma be? a coma does not last, typically, a coma does not last more than a few days or a couple of weeks. In some rare cases, for several weeks, months, or even years.
Oh, see, that's interesting.
Has caused the person to go into the coma. Some patients are able to return to their normal lives after leaving the hospital. Oh, maybe this is medically accurate. I don't know.
Or maybe they are trying to redress the incorrect perception of comas then.
Some comas may last just a few hours. I never knew that.
It's mad, isn't it? Yeah, when you think coma, you think months, right?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, you know, shout out to the Friends writers for redressing the balance of the humble coma.
Would you like one more coma fact?
Always.
Clinically, a coma can be defined as the inability consistently to follow a one-step command.
Huh?
So if I shouted at you, get up, and you couldn't, coma. That doesn't make sense, does it?
I had a big hangover today, mate, and if you'd come in and try and get up, I would have to tell you to fuck off.
I'm not in a coma, I'm just hungover.
That's my catchphrase for life.
You also, I feel like I should also tell you that comas are measured on the Glasgow Coma Scale. Why Glasgow?
Well, come on, Pete, you can't give me that information and then not give me the answer. Why Glasgow?
God, this is quite dark chat. Where does Glasgow come into it? Origin. A man called Brian Jennett and Graham Teasdale, who sound like friends of your dad, but they actually invented the Glasgow Coma Scale.
Okay. Are they from Glasgow? Probably. Let's just leave it there.
Oh, I don't know. Who gives a fuck?
I don't think it's interesting enough for this podcast, frankly.
Glasgow. They worked in Glasgow.
There you go. Oh, my God. Well, we've all learned something.
I wonder how much of that I'll edit out. I think it might be quite a lot.
I quite like to keep a lot of it in, frankly. So let's whistle back, as we should, to the start of this plotline where they do put him in a coma, like you say. What the fuck is Woohoo? Whoever shall... I mean, I know they bring it up within the episode, but it's like almost like a fire engine siren rather than a sort of sexy wolf whistle, which I presume
it's like a clumsy bit of wolf whistling, isn't it? Or catcalling. God, so many animals. But, of course, catcalling's not cool, kids.
No, absolutely isn't. But I would say what she's not doing here is catcall. Like, basically, what I'm trying to get at is, if you were him and you heard someone across the street go, woohoo, would you even stop and turn around?
She makes the noise as someone celebrating something minor.
Right, like, exactly.
I don't know, £5 on a scratch card.
Right.
That kind of level. And what she's attempting to do is flirt.
Yeah, and I just don't think that would catch my attention as a man in the street. I wouldn't think they're trying to attract my attention here. I'd think someone's won £5 on a scratch card. Isn't that nice? And carry on with my
day. Have you ever been catcalled?
No, absolutely not. No. I get white van men occasionally shouting, hey, Ginger, still at the age of 36, which is absolutely remarkable. But no, I don't think I've ever been catcalled. No, Pete. Have you?
No, I don't think so. Neither have I noticed anyone shout woohoo around me.
But... No. Well, maybe we can keep our eyes peeled for a woohoo, but kids, if you get woohooed, just check you're not in the middle of a street and there's not a large vehicle approaching you at quite a pelt.
The other strange thing, I would say there are some good life lessons in this.
Yep.
Don't shave a stranger. I think that's quite quite odd. And then there's that weird montage set to music, isn't there, in this bit where, like, why do they buy him such a fucking huge plant?
I said, there's two elements of their care of him that stress me out the most. And certain things like the Etch-a-Sketch are just a bit weird. Like, why buy a man in a coma a thing that requires diligent sort of finger work, as it were, you know? What the fuck is that about? But the giant plant is absolutely insane on every level, because it's not even his house. He doesn't get to keep it afterwards, or if he does, he has to lug it home. Imagine taking that back in a cab after you're just waking up from your coma. Why is it
exactly
so big?
He's in no fit state. As somebody who fairly recently carried a lot of houseplants up several stories to their new flat, it's hard work, so you should not be forcing someone who's been in a coma to do such a thing.
Agreed. Secondly, And this might be where your expertise comes in. And I don't think you have an expert knowledge of this, but you might have more knowledge than I do. How long does it take to knit a sweater? Because I don't think it's a couple of days.
What, you think it'd be longer?
Yeah, fucking loads longer, no?
If you devoted all day for several days, then perhaps.
But we know she can't have done that, because as well as working, she's had to go giant plant shopping. She had to go and do buying extras. I mean, no, Phoebe got the extra cash. But do you know what I mean? Like, they've done a lot of other things. She's had to shave people, change pajamas.
Also, I would say, on the subject of the Etch-A-Sketch, a present that is probably not going to get much use is giving an Etch-A-Sketch to someone who's in a coma.
No, exactly. Exactly. Like, what use does that man have for a thing that's sort of, well, requires, frankly, movement?
Yeah.
And when you sort of dial the whole thing back, based on the fact they know absolutely nothing about this man, apart from he said the words nice hat, so therefore he knows the words nice and hat and knows what a hat is. Like, that's all we actually know about him. They just fancy him, don't they? This is some of the strangest horny energy I've ever seen from two human beings.
Their reaction to him being entirely indifferent to... I feel like I'm kind of on his side.
What did they expect him to do when he woke up? That's my question. Like, what did they expect to happen there? They go, oh, giant plant, great. You stripped me naked, did you, while I was in my coma?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's, I feel that's quite sexy. Violated. I feel very violated. Even like being shaved, like the whole thing is bizarre. But yeah, I mean, he seems like a bit of a douche, because that's how they're supposed to we're supposed to see it. But I'm entirely on his side in this situation, 100% agree. Like, what else could have happened there, especially given the fact there's two of them? So even if there was supposed to be some sort of like romantic moment, he'd have to then choose between two people he's never met and... that just put him in a coma. I think, fair play, stick to your guns, coma guy. You're fine.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mrs. Bing?
Mrs. Bing.
Ah, not a Bing.
This is probably one of my least watched episodes of Friends.
Right.
But one thing, the fact that Chandler's mum is, like, famous...
Yeah.
...doesn't really get mentioned again.
No, it's sort of revealed here that she's a globally famous novelist, right? She's on The Tonight Show.
There's a reference, on The Tonight Show, Jay Leno, a very young-looking Jay Leno.
Yeah.
And it's mentioned that she sold 100 million copies, right, of her books.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked up, out of curiosity, because I'm very boring, how common it is for an author to sell... over a million copies, right?
What's Nora being sold? 100 million?
100 million.
100 million?
Now, the somebody else who sold 100. These are other people, right? Who've sold 100 million copies. So this is how big Mrs. Nora Bing is yeah. as an author. Ian Fleming,
yeah,
off of Bond,
yeah.
Roger Hargreaves off of Mr. Men,
yeah.
Stephanie Meyer off of Twilight,
yeah.
E.L. James, 50 Shades of Grey, yeah. Beatrix Potter. So Mrs. Bing is as successful, we are informed, as Beatrix fucking Potter.
Surely J.K. Rowling's in there as well, isn't she?
J.K. Rowling is much higher.
Oh,
so
she
is up at 500 million.
Right, so those are people that have sold around 100 million.
Mrs. Bing has sold a third of the number of copies of books as Stephen King. which I'm a bit... She's sold half as many as Roald Dahl, J.R.R. Tolkien, and Dan Brown.
Right, yeah. So she is, by that scale, one of the sort of like top 10 most famous authors in the world, right? Ever.
And we never hear that mentioned again.
And she can just walk around. She can go to a Mexican restaurant and just hang around by the toilets and no one's bothering her. Like, this is the thing. She's been on, like, the biggest late night talk show and no one's, you know, spotting her. There's no autographs. There's nothing. She's just hanging around like Chandler's mum, you know?
I'm just looking at this chart. I'm still distracted by this chart of the author of Clifford the Big Red Dog has sold as many copies as Ian Fleming.
Really?
That is mad, isn't it?
That's fucking great, isn't it?
R.L. Stine off of Goosebumps.
Goosebumps.
100 million.
Do you know what? Fair play, Nora Bing. I'm sorry that the Friends writers and producers don't feel it worthy enough to sort of shine a light on your career achievements.
Yeah.
So she is, by some lick, the most successful character in Friends. Professionally, you know?
Yeah. Other than maybe Pete the Millionaire.
Oh, yeah, fair. Absolutely fair. Yeah, no, you're right. But the two of them, right up there. I mean, she must be minted.
She's sold as many as Lewis Carroll.
She must be so rich.
She's so fucking famous.
Well, maybe this is why we've this is how we've answered the question from Rachel earlier. It's like, why is she taking out all her son's friends for dinner? Because she's fucking minted, mate. That's
oh,
why.
Yeah. Small change to her.
Absolutely. She's got all the money in the world to burn, you know? No, that wasn't Rachel, by the way. That was Alex that made that point. Sorry, I've mixed up my requesters. Anyway, so Chandler's super embarrassed by her. We do get an insight into sort of like, you know, like it was mentioned in the requests, into sort of Chandler's childhood here and the way he interacts with his mum, which sort of does give us a little insight into why he's like the way he is, you know? And then, do you know what we get here, Pete? We get a classic Friends plotline that is entirely based around old phone-based technology, because Ross and Mrs. Bing only kiss because she's ringing her hotel to check for messages. Now, my first instinct was, who'd even be leaving messages at her hotel room while she's in New York for a day or two? But you've now sort of just answered my question.
Oh, yeah. I bet Roald Dahl got a lot of voicemails.
Fucking talk shows, newspapers, publishers, agents, film rights. Spielberg's probably calling. You know, like, I mean, she must be in high demand. And frankly, it's a surprise she doesn't have any messages.
Exactly.
But I just enjoy a little glimpse into the past of, oh, I better go and check, ring the reception desk and see if anyone's left a message in my hotel room.
That's the second time today. I was watching an episode of Catfish and they rang a hotel reception and asked for someone's... I feel like these days you wouldn't be able to do this, right? So they rang a hotel and said, can we be put through to so-and-so's room? And then they were just put through to the room.
What year was this Catfish episode based?
Within the last, like, probably, I don't know, 19, like, maybe?
Yeah, modern
one of those ones where they were severely restricted because of COVID, so they basically just all on fucking Zoom.
All right, so yeah, 2021, something like that.
Yeah.
I think hotels these days will be like GDPR, and you can't, none of that business, right? They'll be like, no, tell me a room number or, you know, call a mobile, frankly.
Mm.
Like, why would you need to call a hotel? If you're calling a hotel to be put through to someone's room, it means you don't have another contact for them, which means you don't know them well enough to be calling them, right?
Yes, correct.
So the kiss, right? Terrible idea, right? On every level from both of them.
Yes. And also, not only that, but just Ross's behaviour after that. Like, he tries to tell Chandler that Paolo kissed his mum.
It's a curveball approach to this.
How's that ever going to...
Yeah.
Like, that is going to be exposed as a lie at some point.
Well, yeah, I mean, he bails so quickly because we're sort of led to believe he's had a sense of morality there where he goes, no, it was me, and realises he should tell the truth. But I think he might have just panicked and gone, okay, this has got zero legs. Like, there's no way I'm going to be able to make this stand up at any point. But in his head for a moment, I guess he's trying to split Rachel and Paolo up, because this is kind of there is a sort of third little plot, but it's just that Paolo is back and Ross is sad, and then Paolo comes to everything and Ross is sad, and then Ross gets drunk and Ross is sad, you know?
Yeah, well, the reason that Mrs. Bing tries to comfort Ross initially is because he's sad about, oddly comes out of a women's toilet.
Who does? Rachel? Ross
does.
Yeah. Does he?
Have you not noticed that joke at the start of that scene?
Yes, he does, yes.
He comes out of the cheekers one.
Yes, and then he looks and he's confused, isn't he?
It's like an unspoken joke, yeah.
An unspoken joke, an unjoken. Yeah, and then we get to the point that that Rachel raised in her request, which is Joey's little sort of moral code of who you can kiss. Maybe a hot aunt. Fine, absolutely fine. No one's got a qualm with that. But, I mean, I'm not saying that's my moral code per se, but... Then he says kissing sisters is okay. There's like a whole fucking plot line around the fact that when Chandler kisses one of his sisters, he goes absolutely berserk.
Yeah, and that's not too far off this episode, is it?
No.
I mean, I know we're very early friends, but it's not like years and years and years later.
And on the subject of his sisters, when Joey's having his slightly strange, and I do really enjoy this scene where Joey's trying to persuade Ross that his mum is also hot. He says Gloria Tribbiani was a handsome woman in her day. You think it's easy giving birth to seven kids?
And there's also a reference to her being pregnant at the wedding, isn't it? As if that's like unthinkable that someone should have had a baby before marriage.
Yeah, but crucially, seven kids, Pete. How many sisters does Joey have? Seven.
Seven?
Yes, yeah. How many kids has she had? Eight.
Oh, yeah. Fair point.
Yeah. Maybe they just haven't fleshed that out in their sort of family history. Or, actually, it's more plausible, to be fair, that Joey can't count.
Or has overlooked himself in the counting process.
In the world of friends. I really enjoy these little Joey-Ross scenes when they're having the arguments and the hushed tones and the sort of, you know, the racquetball arguments?
Yeah.
The grip-sized lines and then especially the sort of, he's not even wearing a jockstrap, what did I even ask? Joey's got some really great lines in this. Probably the peak of the whole episode is knowledge is a tricky thing, which feels like a thing that Joey wouldn't say that quickly.
But, it feels like a Chandler or feels like a Chandler or Ross sort of.
Yeah, line, he's very quick to be able to get out of that situation, you know. And then again, another funny when they're listening at the door, and Joey says, and then she said, "When are you going to realize I have a bomb?" Which is one of my absolute favourites. And also, the only other thing I would say about this is, why is Ross in a full suit and tie if he's going to play racquetball? Come on, Ross, think of a better
excuse. Thought that was going to come up. Yeah. Joey should have brought that up as exposing his bullshit, yeah. And he doesn't.
Why would you turn up in a full suit with a tie already? You're not going to just change out of that and get in your racquetball gear, are you? Yeah?
No.
And then we end on the sort of Rachel's terrible erotic novel, which is heavily typo-laden.
I find the fact that Rachel's just decided to have a go at erotic literature just generally quite a bizarre throwaway tiny subplot, that is, isn't it?
It definitely feels like a plot that had more...
Oh, you could thread that through a whole episode.
Yeah, but I think that maybe there was that in the first place and they just decided to get rid of that mostly for other, you know, for time.
Yeah, maybe.
It felt like that's something that had more attention drawn to it and more scenes that are just being cut down to time, because it's basically just referenced once in the coffee house and then at the end when she has printed multiple copies off. She's that thrilled with it. But then within 10 seconds, they've all just ripped the shit out of her, which, frankly, not that supportive as friends, but also give it a little spell check. Spell check existed back then, didn't it?
How would you... Well, yes, I suppose, yeah, laptops were a thing, weren't they?
Yeah. When was this? 1995, 94, 95. Windows 95 was knocking about by then, Pete, you know?
Well, it was. They were on the VHS tape for how to use it,
absolutely,
weren't they?
Absolutely. We were in the modern era by then. Mm. Should we play a little sting and see if we've got a quiz, Pete?
Yes, let's do that.
Exciting.
Well, I can tell you, Dave, whether we have a quiz or not. Because, well, we do, because I'm looking at the quiz. There is a quiz. Thank you, Alex, who supplied the quiz.
So Alex, the requester, supplied a quiz with her request, which is good, because now...
You forgot to ask anyone else?
No, Pete, I didn't. Because on the end of last week's episode, as you'll remember, I posted, as I always do now, as is tradition, underneath the...
Oh, did they not get back to you?
Well, Pete, interestingly, they did. Now, I'd like to give a small, give over a small segment of this podcast to Alana, who did reply. And I said, do you want to do a quiz for the one with Mrs. Bing? And she said,
no.
Absolutely, I'd love to. Fine. Oh. And then about 10 minutes before I started watching the episode, aka about half an hour before we recorded it, I realised she hadn't sent anything through. So I just sent her a message saying, don't know if you had the chance to do the quiz, but don't worry.
Don't fucking bother.
And I'd say what Alana's done here is display the perfect amount of fwoof energy. Like, she has channeled our approach to doing
stuff.
Is she
forgotten?
No. She went, oh, shit, I started it and I did two questions and then forgot.
Classic, yeah.
And then she says, do you want the two questions for a bonus, for bonus points? And she goes, I swear to God, I had big plans for a fancy PowerPoint and everything, but this is what you're getting, which is a screenshot of a note off her phone, which has two typos in it. So very much like Rachel's erotic novel.
Great.
It's a glorious shambles, is what I would say. So... we do have, actually, frankly...
7-question quiz.
Yeah, but she sent me the questions, and I will actually send you the quiz as she sent it to me, because she scribbled out with the sort of marker pen on notes the answers. So I don't actually have the fucking answers here.
Brilliant. Should we just stick with Alex's fully formed quiz?
Yeah, I just think this is perfect.
Okay,
I love it.
Right.
Go on, fully formed quiz, please.
Question one. When the kiss takes place, what's the sign on the toilet door Joey's going into? Well, Ross comes out of Chica's, so I'd say Chico's.
Chico's, yeah.
Is correct. Question two, what page... what... just... this... we should have mentioned this. The name of one of Chandler's mum's books, being Mistress Bitch, is... great.
Mistress Bitch. Oh, yeah, I know. I'd like to read the oeuvre of Nora Tyler Bing, you know?
Question two is, what page of Mistress Bitch were Chandler's friends passing around?
I don't know. 74?
Close, 79. Question three, name something Monica and Phoebes are doing in that unfrenzy little musical montage bit. Well, there's the plant, isn't there? There's the fucking huge...
plant and knitting sweaters.
Reading the newspaper, arranging flowers, bringing a tree... bringing a tree, yeah, fair point, it is basically a tree. Knitting, playing guitar, and shaving.
Great.
Question four, what's the name of the book Rachel starts writing?
Oh, I don't know, I can't remember.
I remember this, A Woman Undone.
A Woman Undone. Yeah, that's right.
And question five, why does Phoebe want yesterday's Daily News? This is at the start, isn't it?
Why does Phoebe want yesterday's Daily News? Oh, to see if a horoscope was right?
A horoscope from the day before.
Yeah, the previous one, yeah.
Is correct, yeah.
Would you like... I also just realised that Alana has now just sent me the version of the note with the answers revealed. So question one, what vehicle did the hot guy get tan over by? There's a typo.
Well, I thought it was an ambulance.
Yeah, well, tan over. It is an ambulance, correct, yep. And then not only has she only sent us two questions, the second... I don't know why this tickles me so much. The second question is just, what's the book called?
Which book?
Exactly.
Right. Great. Quite a hard one to get right, that is.
What's the book called? This is honestly, in the best way, the worst quiz we've ever had.
I feel like Alana's done herself proud there.
Oh, it's really got me. Anyway, so Alana is doing next week's quiz as penance for that disgraceful effort. And frankly, based on this quiz that we've had so far, I cannot wait.
Well, next week's episode that she's doing that quiz about, hopefully, is Season 8, Episode 3, The One Where Rachel Tells.
Ross.
Dot, dot, dot. Well, no, it's just, I think they kept that out of the... title.
Oh, did
to avoid
they?
The spoiler. Yeah,
I thought it was called The One Where Rachel Tells Ross, but
maybe it was in hindsight. Yeah. But initially, No.
Well, there you go. Next week, we will discuss that episode and, as far as I can tell, have a quiz that will have questions such as who's wearing a t-shirt and things like that.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait for it. Okay, Peter, goodbye. See you now. Bye.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softeners Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.